help us to grasp hold of the truths in the scripture. So let's pray. Father, thank you that as we open Genesis 15 today, that we're opening a passage of scripture that is inspired with us in mind. It may not have been written to us, but it certainly is written for us. And so we want to be open today to being shaped by this passage. Lord, it's more than words in a book. It's more than an ancient document. It is your word for us today. So please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, please speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Life is made up of a network of human connections. Life is made up of a network of human connections. Yesterday morning, I got up slightly earlier than I normally do on a Saturday morning. I was going down to Monte to meet someone to have breakfast with them. Jumped in the car. It was about 8 o'clock by the time I got in the car. Ski traffic was already on the freeway, so it was busy. And as I came on at Montreux, I was wondering whether the guy, it was so heavy that there were lots of cars in the inside lane. The guys in the inside lane couldn't pull into the outside lane to let me in. So I was dependent on the guy behind me to slow down and let me in. And guess what? He did. He did. He slowed down and he let me in. I gave him a wave. He gave me a wave. Human connection. Human connection. Drove down to Monte, went to Manor, and had breakfast with this guy I'm just getting to know. And we sat there for a very, very leisurely breakfast, probably about 2.5 hours. And really just enjoying chewing over life. Human connection. Jumped back into the car, drove back to the house. By this time, Yvonne and Rebecca, or Jacob, had headed out skiing. Rebecca was in the house. And at that point, I discovered that I was taxi driver for the day. So had to take Rebecca to Montreux Station. There's a human connection. Myself and my daughter. Very different type of human connection to the guy who let me in on the freeway, or even the guy who I had breakfast with. Human connection, though. Took Rebecca down to the Montreux Gare. Drove back to the church to pick some stuff up, came up here, and here were Chris and Esther were up here shining the brass for this morning's service. Thank you to Chris and Esther. Had a quick chat with them. Human connection. Went back home about 4:30, took Michael and Eleanor and Alistair up to Waymo for the PC fundraiser last night. Chat in the car. Human connection. Spent some time with Richard Bradford watching England absolutely annihilate Scotland, much to my pain, I have to say. Human connection. Went to the PC fundraiser with about 100 other people, had a fantastic night, chatted to so many people. Human connection. Life is a network of human connections. Life would not be life if we weren't connected with other people. But what should those human connections be like? What are the ingredients of healthy biblical human connections? Whether it's the guy who lets you in or doesn't let you in on the freeway. Whether it's the person you're getting to know. Whether it's somebody that you love profoundly like your daughter. Whether it's being a taxi driver. Whether it's just going around saying hi to people at a Project Compassion fundraiser. What are the ingredients of human connections, whether they are tenuous or whether they're profound? And I want to suggest to you that every human connection has the same two ingredients, blended differently, but the same two ingredients. The first one, you can guess. The first one's really easy. The first ingredient of human relationships, human connection, is love. Everybody could have guessed that. But I wonder, can you guess the second one? Which I would want to argue today is as important. Love and law. Love and law. two ingredients that blend together in every human connection. I want to explore that today through the lens of Genesis 15, where God creates a covenant relationship with Abraham, a covenant relationship which, guess what, is a blend of, I hope you're listening, of what? And law. God's covenant connection with Abraham is a blend of love and law. That is the connection that he has with us. And it, I believe, is the model for every connection that we have with one another, love and law. So let's have a look at Genesis 15. I want us to think just of this covenant relationship, this blend of love and law. And I want you to notice in verse 1, the language of love. Here is God. Way back in chapter 12, God had promised Abraham that he was going to bless him and that he was going to make Abraham into a great nation, and that great nation was going to be a blessing to every other nation. And here we have in verse 1, God is coming to Abraham with in the context of those promises, affirming those promises and binding himself to those promises with a covenant. And here's the language of love, verse 1. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. Personal pronouns. I am your shield, your very great reward. Abraham, this is personal. This relationship is personal, Abraham. It's love. It's the language of love. But then as we journey through chapter 15, we come to verse 9, and we discover then that God and Abraham enact a legal ceremony, verse 9. And so not only does God bind himself to Abraham with the language of love, he binds himself to Abraham with a legal contract. Love and law. Now, as 21st century people, we struggle with this idea of a relationship having an element of law to it. We really wrestle with that. That sort of goes against our grain. And one of the reasons why we wrestle with that is that we have been swimming in a culture of individualism. It's all about me, first and foremost. And in a consumer culture, that's what we swim in. That's what we breathe in. That is what is affecting us. And it will be affecting every one of us here today. We swim in it, we breathe it, it impacts us. And so it's no wonder that then that when we think about relationships, the tendency is to think, what is in it, what is in this relationship for me? My rights, my needs. And as 21st century people, that's what we think of. But the thought of law, the thought of being bound to someone, the thought of having an obligation towards someone, the thought of having a responsibility towards someone which we are bound to is something we struggle with. We don't like that because that pushes against our sense of freedom. And yet this beautiful, beautiful model of covenant comes into a 21st century world and pushes back that consumerism, that individualism, and reminds us that relationship is not just about me. But it reminds us that in some shape or form, in every relationship, I have an obligation towards you. I have a responsibility towards you. Blended of love and law. You might be familiar with the Greek myth of Odysseus, or by the Latin word Ulysses. He made an agreement with his men as they were approaching the sirens, mythical figures, femme fatale, who lured sailors and their ships onto the rocks with enchanting music. And Ulysses wanted to hear the song of the sirens, although he knew that by doing so, it would render him incapable of rational thought. And so what he did was that he put wax in the ears of his men, his fellow sailors, so that they couldn't hear the sirens. And he had them tie him to the mast of the ship so they wouldn't jump into the sea and swim towards the sirens, and he ordered them not to change course under any circumstance, and to keep their swords upon him, and to attack him if he broke free from his bonds upon hearing the song of the sirens. And so the sailors, with wax in their ears and Ulysses tied to the mast, they sail towards the sirens. Ulysses begins to hear their song. He's driven temporarily insane. He's struggling with all his might to break free from his ropes that he might join the sirens, which would have meant his death and the death of the sailors. But he was bound to the mast by ropes. And whenever we think about covenant relationship, yes, we think of profound and deep love, but we also need, as 21st century people, to know that there are ropes that bind us to people as well. That's a challenge to 21st century individualism, 21st century consumerism. I want you to hold that in your head for a moment. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But I want us to move on by thinking about this covenant relationship that God makes with Abraham. So God has promised Abraham, you're going to be a great nation, and your nation is going to be a blessing to the entire world. And God comes in chapter 15, and he's going to bind himself to Abraham in a particular way. You see it in verse 9 and 11. It's pretty grotesque. For those of you who have weak stomachs and a nice lunch coming, you might just want to sort of put your fingers in your ears at this moment. It is a pretty grotesque legal ceremony that Abraham and God undergo. And what God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to go and I want you to get these three animals. And Abraham, I want you to cut them in half, not here, but here. And Abraham does it and he splits them in half like this. And he separates them in such a way that he creates a corridor between these halves of these animals. And you can imagine that corridor is filled with blood. No surprise that it's actually called the corridor of blood. And this was an ancient way of creating a connection between two people. And the people who would make the connection, one person would stand at one end of the corridor of blood, the other would stand at the other end. And here was the idea that they would walk through the corridor of blood, not knocking over their computers. They would walk through the corridor of blood. And ceremonially, here's what they would be saying. They would be saying, if I break my promise to you, if I break free of my bonds, if I choose freedom above my responsibility towards you, may I become like what? These animals. May I be torn apart. Making covenants were no small things. But a little twist to this type of covenant, because whenever a king made a covenant with his subject, the king, the expectation was that the king would never walk down the corridor of blood, because he was a king, it was assumed that he would keep his word. And so what would happen is that the king would stand at one end of the corridor of blood, and he would call forward his subject, and he would say, come forth, and the subject would walk towards him, and the covenant would be formed. And that's the background to our passage. And so Abraham obeys, he aligns the animals. And do you know what happens next? Nothing. Abraham sort of stands there. And he looks at his watch. And he thinks, okay. He waits. And he waits. And he probably looks at his watch again and thinks, and he waits. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for the king to do what? To call him forward through the corridor of blood. And he waits. And he waits so long that the birds of prey get wind of the feast, the buffet that's available, and they start coming down, and Abraham has to chase them off with a big stick. And he waits until finally he falls asleep. And as he's asleep, great darkness surrounds him. And in the Old Testament, the great darkness was often a symbol of God's presence coming in judgment. Great darkness surrounds Abraham. And then Abraham sees something. He sees a smoking brazier at the other end of the corridor of blood, another symbol of God's presence. And Abraham watches in complete astonishment as that brazier passes through the corridor of blood towards Abraham. What's going on? What's going on? Two things are happening. The first thing is obvious, that God is binding himself to Abraham in love and law. God is binding himself to Abraham in love and law. Although God was the king, God chose to walk down the corridor of blood. And as God, in the symbol of this brazier, was walking down the corridor of blood, he was saying symbolically to Abraham, Abraham, if I break my promises, may I become what? Like these animals that have been torn apart. God binds himself to Abraham with responsibility and with consequences. But a second thing goes on. Here's a question, not a trick question. Who does not walk through the corridor of blood? Who? Abraham doesn't. Why is that? Here is why Abraham is not called to walk through the corridor of blood. God is saying, not only Abraham, will I be torn apart if I break my promises? What God is saying is, Abraham, I will be torn apart if, and this is just incredible, if you, Abraham, break your promises, I will be torn apart. Do you get that? So I want you to fast forward 1,500 years or so, outside the city of Jerusalem, on a hill known as Calvary, God in human flesh is on a cross. And what happens? Darkness gathers. And God in human flesh is torn apart by nails and by a spear and by a whip. And on that cross, God is looking back to that covenant promise 1,500 years ago. And is almost saying, Abraham, I kept my promise. God incarnate in human flesh is torn apart because Abraham failed. Because Clive failed. Because you failed. God takes your punishment and suffers for us. That is the nature of the covenant promise that God has made with you. Now just bask in that. That is the covenant promise that God has made with you. He has bound himself to you in love and in law. We're going to celebrate that in a few moments' time as we break bread and we drink wine together. And we remember the cross, the death of Christ, against this background of the covenant in Genesis 15. I really hope that picture of Genesis 15 gives you an insight into the death of Jesus. That the whole idea of covenant gives you a perspective on what was going on in that cross. I want to finish, though, by taking us back to the first part of the sermon. Because for me, God's way of relating to us, covenant, is the model by which we relate to one another. So our relationships with each other is a blend of love and law. So no matter what relationships, whatever network of relationships we have, whether they're tenuous or profound, whether it's the guy in the motorway who lets you in, or whether it's your son or daughter, your husband or your wife, your best friend, your mother, your father, all of those relationships have combinations, blends of law and love. Apply that to your work. Think about your connections at work. You're a teacher. So you think about your connections with your pupils, with the parents, with staff, with your line manager or those that you lead. How does this blend of law and love work out in those relationships? Where are your obligations and your responsibilities, as well as what does love look like there? What about if you're not a teacher? What if you're in the medical world or in the corporate world? Or what if your work is at home? What connections do you have? And how does that blend of law and love work out? Or perhaps, if you really want to push yourself today, how has individualism and the culture of consumerism shaped your connections? Is there anything that you think to yourself, yeah, that relationship, when I think about it, yeah, actually, I want that relationship to work actually because it's good for me? Any relationships like that? Maybe it's your relationship with your boss. Or maybe it's your relationship with your staff or your team members. You're connected to them because you need something from them. But what is your obligation towards them? A blend of love and a blend of law. The model of the relationship between God and us, but also how that defines the relationships that we have one with the other. Let's pray together. So just invite you for a moment to just picture your relationships, the connections that you have. And as those relationships come to mind, pray that the Holy Spirit might pinpoint one particular relationship. Father, is there a particular relationship in our lives that needs our attention today? One particular connection. Maybe the Lord's reminding you this morning of how you treated the cabin crew on the flight this week. Or maybe the Lord's speaking to you about your friendships. Allow the Lord just to remind you of a particular connection. And then pray into that. Pray that the Lord would show you what it means to love in that place. And what does obligation and responsibility look like there? So, Father, we offer you the precious connections that we have in this world. And we pray that you please help us to see them through how you relate to us in love and law. And that you would, Lord, allow us the wisdom and the grace to relate to people as you would have us relate to them. And as you relate to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. We're going to sing together again. This is going to be our offertory song, and I hope the song that we've chosen, it's one of Keith Getty's song called Behold the Lamb of God That Bears Our Sins Away, reflects something of Genesis 15.